It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
And now, here is Mr. Paul Feinbaum. You can wake up, Paul. The Georgia-Kentucky game is over.
Yeah, are you sure? Is there proof of life?
I guess you just get these clunkers every now and then. But welcome to our show, Paul, and thank you for being part of our Feinbaum Fridays and the football roundup that we do every day, every Friday, brought to you by Bryant Bank. We appreciate you very much, man.
No, I'd hate for somebody else to be part of Feinbaum Friday.
So I know.
You, including me.
why don't we start with that game? Surprise to many, Georgia hanging on to beat Kentucky 13-12.
Who wasn't surprised?
I don't know. I think even – oh, you weren't surprised.
Yeah,
That's right.
Surprised.
Dan, you called this.
Yeah, I kind of called it they just – this is the Georgia-Kentucky game. This is the way it goes, Paul.
I think if you watch Georgia over the last couple of years, that they are very consistent in being inconsistent.
Yep.
I don't understand it, but you know, it happened last year at South Carolina and Auburn, and the year before against Missouri. They just don't like perfection. So here we are, Georgia in the off week with questions, and I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking here too much, but I think that's exactly what Kirby Smart wants. He wants his team to bear down, get better, because they have some serious injuries that they need players back, and eliminate all this. We're going into Bama for revenge, and that's an automatic win because Nick Saban now wears pancake makeup on Saturday.
I wanted to get your thoughts, Paul, on Stoops at the end of the game. 4th and 8. Of course, the offense wasn't really moving the ball, but they were on Georgia's side of the field. And he punted it away. I thought it was ridiculous. Dan seemed to like the decision.
I don't know if that's like the way it turned out.
Dogs fan, but what were your thoughts on Stoops not just going for it?
Well, I mean, all you can do is look and see what happened afterwards. He got the ball back for one play, so confirms what 99% of America thought. It was a stupid, boneheaded decision, which is really not unlike Mark Stoops. So this guy just does not have any guts, and instead of saying, you know, screw it, let's try to win the game right now, he played it safe, and he got the result that he always gets.
Yeah, but his rationale was, if when they punted it back to us, we'd have to go like the length of the – if they didn't make the first down and then Georgia punted them in a hole, he said we would have very little time and very little chance of going the length of the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's –
okay, well, how many plays did they have when they got the ball back?
They had one.
Yeah. And they were on the other end of the field.
They were pinned back, yes. Yeah.
And then, of course, the team that's also getting a bye, who Georgia's setting up to play next weekend, Bama, and Big Ten folks, Wisconsin folks, were hoping for a close game there, but it wasn't really at all. With Tyler Van Dyke knocked out in that first quarter, and then Bama just destroys the Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, it was that game was decided early on, a couple of plays, and the injury was devastating. I like what Alabama did. I know that there's a feeling that among some, maybe Alabama folks are getting too high. But why? I mean, to me, you went on the road, you know, an average Big Ten opponent, still better than playing South Georgia State, or Georgia State for that matter, mm-hmm. who I think beat Vanderbilt. And you got to win, and that's really very good. And you also have a little confidence now as you get the off week, and here you go. You have the first of several game of the years coming up.
Yep. By the way, I was listening to that game on my way to a friend's house when the quarterback got knocked out, Van Dyke, right?
Mm-hmm.
The replacement, he sounded horrible on the radio. I mean, they were just describing what he was doing on the field. And when I got to my friend's house, the TV was on, and it was all confirmed. He was not they did not have a reliable backup ready to go.
Well, let me assure you, I'm a professionally trained expert. He was horrible.
That's kind of weird.
I'm really not an expert, but some people think I am, so I'm going to go ahead and declare this issue null and void.
Okay.
Throw it out of court. Also, a backup quarterback who had a much better week than Wisconsin's, Arch Manning.
Uh-oh.
And, I mean, Quinn Ewers leaves with the oblique injury. Arch comes in and then immediately runs for a 70-yard touchdown, something we didn't see much from Peyton or Eli over the years. Is there a quarterback controversy? I know Longhorns fans are saying there's not, but if Quinn Ewers shows up and has a rough half, I could see it just sitting right there.
Yeah, I don't think it's it really is because of the coach, but it's, you know, I don't know when we're going to see Ewers again. Probably not. I don't know why you would bring him back next week for Mississippi State. I mean, Dalton could quarterback against Mississippi State and probably
he would do fine.
So then you give him an off week. Comes back for Texas. Now the Texas Oklahoma game. If for some reason he sputters, then yeah, I mean you bring in Arch Manning, and then you have the controversy. You know, Quinn Ewers started 2 weeks ago was the Heisman favorite. Now he's listed behind Arch. I was thinking, has that ever happened before? I believe a couple of years ago, Spencer Rattler started the season as the Heisman favorite at Oklahoma and was quickly replaced by Caleb Williams.
You're right.
That's right, and we've seen that. Yeah, it's very rare, but Arch shot up the boards. I mean, if you're betting on Arch to win the Heisman now, I think you might have missed your shot just a week ago.
It's like, hey, I just saw interest rates are down. I think I'll jump in the stock market this morning.
Hey, the Hank Brown era has started at Auburn, and Dalton could not be more excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too, but. I'm gonna sound like, you know, one of these cliche mongers, but there's a reason Hank Brown was the backup because he doesn't have the mobility and nor do I think he has the ability. He looked good against a terrible opponent, but Arkansas is a simply mediocre SEC team, but they are an SEC team.
They are, and that's how Auburn opens their SEC schedule this weekend. Early in the season, we were saying, all right, Auburn rolls into this 3-0. They take care of Arkansas. Then they're waiting on Oklahoma. We knew they had to start hot with five games at home to start the year. Now this Arkansas game, if they lose this, we might be talking about a 2-9 kind of season. I mean, a 2-10 or 3-9 kind of season for Auburn.
Here's my suggestion, and stop me if this sounds familiar. If Auburn loses the game, I think Jimmy Rain ought to just walk out to the field and offer – the job on the spot to Bobby Petrino, because I think that's happened before, and he's familiar with the Auburn program, and just go ahead and undo what should have happened probably in 2003.
Oh, that would be fascinating if that happened. will you and the whole SEC crew be in? Will you be in Starkville for the Mississippi State Florida game this weekend?
No.
The way we've gone so far this year, I'm surprised we aren't there. But no, we will be in Baton Rouge. I know there's a follow-up question, but I don't have an answer.
Just Mississippi State blown out by Toledo. Florida made the score look better, I guess, against Texas A&M than it actually was.
Yeah, it was bad.
But you've got two really bad, right now, bad SEC teams here playing, and maybe Napier's job on the line this weekend?
First of all, the guy on the other sideline, Jeff Lebby, I've already had calls wanting to know when he's going to be fired. He's been there exactly three games.
Wow.
But as far as Napier, I don't think his job is on the line. I think his job has already been adjudicated. I think he's done. The issue isn't to fire him, and I feel like I am an expert now, having been to Florida twice already this season, something nobody else has done. The reason why it's complicated is, had he been fired last week, then players on the team could have bailed out on the redshirt rule, so they couldn't afford to do that. The other issue, I know I sound like I'm an NCAA wonk here, but if the moment a coach is replaced, go back to last year with Saban, or last January, the portal opens. So Florida's got to figure out how to handle this where they don't, the whole team just doesn't leave, especially DJ Lagway, who is the best player for the future. He's the quarterback.
So that transfer portal opens right when they fire? It's not at the end of the season?
I believe it opens the moment the coach is out.
Wow.
That's big. Yeah,
that could put a stop to these mid-season firings, and it's not even mid-season.
I was told that yesterday. Now I asked somebody because I had no earthly idea. So I wonder if you figure out a way to maybe have him resign effective November 30th and just tell him he just doesn't have to come to work.
Mm. Wow. It adds another layer to all this. I heard that conversation, fantastic discussion you had about the transfer portal and hirings and firings, and then what the extended playoff means for teams looking for new coaches and how that plays into this with the season now going into late January.
Mm.
Yeah, January 20th is now the championship game, and that's the second part of that question is who should take his place. Most people think it's Lane Kiffin. The people in Florida want Lane Kiffin. I mean, they were chanting, "We want Lane," right behind me in Gainesville, which I know Florida fans were, Florida officials were cringing. I was loving every minute of it, by the way. Ole Miss is a potential playoff team. And unless they get knocked out of the playoffs here by losing three games, he's going to be a tough guy to hire. I mean, unless Lane Kiffin decides, you know what, I'm just going to abandon my team. Nobody is going to let somebody this isn't like Kirby Smart 6 or 7 years ago where you're an assistant and we'll let you shuttle back and forth. I can't imagine a school letting their head coach coach another be a head coach somewhere else.
Yeah, wow. So many layers to that. Let's talk about the big one this weekend, Norman, Oklahoma, Sooners' first SEC game ever, and they're bringing the fortunate son, Josh Heupel, back in, who's doing a great job with the Tennessee Vols. A lot of storylines to this game Saturday night, Paul.
Yeah, the biggest is the fact that Josh Heupel was fired by Oklahoma in 2014 after being a coach there for 10 years and winning a national championship. They have not won one since. They're sold on Brent Venables for now. And I say for now because 55 hours from now, that could change if Tennessee goes in there and just destroys them like they have everyone else. Tennessee should win this game. They're by far the better team. I don't know what Oklahoma's defense is close to being elite. Their offense is close to being dysfunctional. Tennessee seems like they've got everything going for them.
Yeah, to this point in the season, they've been good on defense. They've been really good on offense, and that's been probably the biggest surprise with Tennessee, or at least people are talking about their defense this year, where in years past that wasn't the case, Dalton.
Yeah, that D line.
Well, yeah, Venables is a defensive expert. I mean, but hey, you got to have both.
You do, and I know that D line's looking at what Oklahoma's O line has looked like these last couple of weeks, and Arnold has made some boneheaded decisions, including that pick six, which put Tulane right back into the game this last weekend. So that'll be absolutely fascinating. What kind of a reaction? What kind of reception will Heupel get walking onto the field there?
I think it will be a thunderous ovation. One thing about Oklahoma people, they really they're built on tradition, and they know how important he has been. Just because he got fired, it's not like he abandoned the program. So I think it will be a big moment, and I think it will be very conflicting for Josh Heupel. I mean, he was by the way, when he played, Brent Venables was on the defensive sideline. So everybody knows everybody out there.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you quickly about the Heisman race when Heupel won the Natty with Oklahoma, and it was a close race. Chris Winkie ended up winning it, and Florida State, of course, lost to Oklahoma that year. Was that Heisman race as tight as what I'm reading about this week with all these lookbacks on that year?
I vaguely remember being – by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how Chris Winkie won anything. but I mean, Florida State Florida State had a couple of those guys like that. But I think that was a classic case of Florida State probably being the marquee team all season long. And that's why the Heisman being voted on in early December often isn't a true indicator.
Yeah. Well, we know now just three games into the season, Florida State is not the marquee team in 2024.
Yeah. Paul, thanks again for your time this morning.
Great to see you guys. Thank you.
Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, every afternoon here on FM Talk 106.5, 2 to 6 p.m. And we're coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the way right after this.